let's begin. We are up to Perek Tesvav, Pasik Chaf. We have to review the Pasik. Pasik Chaf Dalet. Perek Tesvav, Pasik Chaf Dalet. We are continuing. There's Eliphaz, the response of Eliphaz to Eoiv, telling Eoiv that the basic thing that we've mentioned and we've discussed yesterday is that there's no such thing in the world as Rasha v'Tovla. Every Rasha really fears deep down for his, is afraid, has no, every Rasha does not have Menuchas HaNefesh. And part of his description, he says in Pasuk of Dalet, Yivasu Tsar Umitsuka, he is terrified by two different expressions of Tsar, pain, Umitsuka, and oppression. Tiskefehu Kimelech, it seizes him, it overcomes him. The word Tiskefehu means it overpowers him, Kimelech, like a king. And then the Pasuk concludes, Asid Lakidar. His destiny is to be a kidar. What do all of these words mean? Let's take a look at the Mitzvah of Pasuk of Dalet. Yivasu, Hatzaros Yacharidu Oso. A Rasha does not have Menuchas HaNefesh. A Rasha is constantly in a state of terror. He's afraid of the Tzaros that will terrify him. Tiskefeu Kamelech. Hatzara Te'echoiz. Okay, that's the key word you have to add into the word. That word does not appear in the pasuk. That's implied. It's self-understood. The tsaros te'echoyis oso. The difficulties of life, the trouble of life grabs him, takes hold of him, possesses him, b'choizek, with strength. So this is the interpretation of the Mishnah. I told you something a little bit different yesterday. We'll see that maybe in Rashi, maybe he alludes to that. But the idea over here is that the tsaros, the tsar, like a king's mission in his role as king is to take hold of the country, to seize the country, to be sure that everyone in the country is loyal and is doing what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to pay taxes, they're supposed to pledge their loyalty, to pay homage to the king. That is what the role of a king is. So here it says that a Rasha is a victim to Tsaros, to the degree where the Tsaros rule are a king over the person. A person is a slave to his Tsaros. Next words, Asili Kidar, his destiny is to become a Kidar. What is a Kidar? Rashi Mitzvah says, Mezumenhu. So according to that, it's a very difficult word. According to the Mitzvah, the word Kidar is a ball. Now what does it mean if you're a ball? What does that mean? A Mezumenhu Liyois Doime Likidar. He is going to be seen to a ball. What's a ball? No, not. He's going to move. He's going to go into exile. He's going to be blown around by the wind. Umetultul, bounce around. Umetultul Kikidar, and be move around like a ball. Hazeh hametutul v'nizrok miyaliyah, that is moved and is thrown from hand to hand. So this is the destiny of this Rasha. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk says, let's take a look at the Mitzudas for one moment. Mitzudas Tzion, how he ties to the word Kidar. Kidar osihu l'schoik boy. The destiny, his destiny is he'll be a joke. He'll be a toy. Listening by Lizorko Miyod Liyod, the Chain Kidor El Eretz Rachavas Yadayim. Another expression we find over there that it means mobility. The land, okay, but in our context, it means that the person he'll be tossed around from person to person. He'll be a joke in the eyes of the world. This wicked person, Rashi is a little bit different. Pasuk Chavdal and Rashi Tiskefehu Techazek Hametzuka. Same idea as the Mitzudos, that the Mitzuka is the oppression, will take hold of him and will be ma'anes him, will force him to do things that he would otherwise not do. Kenelech osi likidar. Now notice the Mitzudos here, the Rashi does not acknowledge, at least in this Dibur Maskil, that there's a psik between the word Kimelech and Osid Lakidar. In the Mitzudos very clearly reads the pasuk according to what we have in our text, where there is a hefsek, there is a mafsek tiskefeu kam kamelech kama. Right, then there's a psik. that the Tsar and the Mitsuka will seize, will overcome this Russia like a king who takes hold of his country, period. And then there are two more words, Osid Lakidar. Rashi puts the three words together, Kemelech Osid Lakidar. According to Rashi, the word Tiskefeu is a word which stands on its own, which means simply, according to the preview, like we said before, it's going back on the word of Mitsuka, and it's self-understood that the Tsaros, or maybe, maybe according to Rashi, what he really means to say is, we have to put a comma after the word Tsar. Yivasu Tsar, comma. Tsar, difficulty will terrify him. Umitsuka Tiskefeu. And Mitsuka, oppression, will surround him and overtake him. Kama. Next, Kimelech Osid Lakidar. Like the king, is his destiny to be Kidar. So we have yet to explain what Rashi means. But just take note that the Rashi and the Mitsudos break up the Pasuk very differently. Mitsudos takes the words, the three words go together. Yivasuhu tsar umitsuka, kama. Next, tiskefeyu kimelech, kama. Osid lakidar, period. Rashi breaks up the pasuk differently. Yivasuhu tsar, kama. Umitsuka tiskefeyu, kama. And now the last three words are kimelech, like the king, osid lakidar, he's destined for kidar. Now what does it mean according to Rashi? Kimelech osid lakidar. Loi matzasi dimyoinoi. Rashi says, I don't know. There is no precedent. There is no precedent in the entire Tanakh for such an expression, the word lakidar. Therefore, because there is no precedent, I have no choice but to interpret it. You have to exchange the last resh of the word lakidar to a dal, lakidod. What does it mean, lakidod or lakidud? What does it mean? Kimo Ashkenaz virifas shebetoira. In the Torah, it says Ashkenaz and Rifas, and the Divrei Hayamim, when we describe the same two cities, same two countries, same two people, we describe them Ashkenaz v'Difas. So we see we have precedent in the Chumash and in the Divrei Hayamim that the Reish can sometimes be exchanged for a Dalit. Rifas, name of a person, becomes Difas. Another example. Another kitim vidu donim, and there's a say du donim. It's vidu donim, and du donim, which sometimes is vidu ronim. Sometimes it's not du donim, but in other places it's spelled du ronim with a resh, not with a dalet. So what do we see from this? That you're allowed at times to exchange the resh for a dalet. Afkan likidar. So now we have to take the word likidar kmo likidud. Ah, so now we change likidar to likidud with a dalet. So what are we referring to? What is kidud? Kidud means burning. It means fire. Where do we find fire in reference to a king? Who was one of the greatest kings of the world? Who ruled the world? Sancheirif. What happened to Sancheirif? His soldiers, his 185,000 soldiers were burned to a crisp, or at least the neshamas were burnt. Like that king who was destined. So we're assuming over here that Eev lived before the time of Sancheirif. Eev lived in ancient times, and there is a prediction here that with regard to this wicked man, he's speaking. The Eliphaz is speaking that a wicked man has destined. Destiny will be just like that king that I know, Piruach HaKodesh, will one day be burnt. As we mentioned, according to one of the Mefarshim, Eliphaz says that this entire thing came to me in a vision. I had a vision. We know the Mitzvah said it was not a vision. The Mitzvah says that when it says a vision, it meant that according to the eyes of my understanding, according to my, I have an insight. But according to another interpretation, it means actual prophecy. The Rashi will similarly work with that approach, that the prophecy that the wicked is Ka'isa HaMelech Shu'asa Likidud Be'esh Shel Gehenim V'hu Sancheirif Shenisnabe Hanavi. What did Yeshaya say concerning Sancheirif? Ki aruch me esmol tifte, that it has been arranged from yesterday. Tifte means Gehenim. Gehenim is waiting for this wicked man. He will burn in Gehenim. Dam hi lemelech uchan. It's prepared for the king with this part of the pasuk in Yeshaya. It has been prepared for the melech for Sancheirif. Listrev chayolov yikod yakod. His army will be yikod yakod. yikod, yikod. Two different words which mean, it's an expression in Yeshaya, be burnt to a crisp. V'dayim alo, ki du de esh, another pasuk, yis maltu, another pasuk, they will be burnt, they will be lit up with fire. Im sarmachem esh. Okay, it's not im, it's esh, lapidim. There, lahavois, there it's interpreted to mean that expression of kidude esh yismaltu means it will flare up in fire.
So Rashi really has to go pretty far on this one, because he's doing first he changes the letter.
Yeah,
he changes the
psik.
Letter.
What are the letter?
Because
one letter.
He went from
one letter. Kidar to kidud.
The ration of dollars.
Yeah, that's one letter. Only letter. Yeah.
Going from a chaf to a kuf.
Where?
What?
Yikod.
No.
He's only changing to.
He could. Oh, are you saying?
The fire is with a kuf.
With a kuf, not with a chaf. I see what you're saying. Okay. I see what you're saying. Very good. Kidud.
No, but
I see what you're saying. You make a very good point. You do see that kidudei esh, that pasuk as well. That pasuk as well also exchanges the chaf with a kuf. That's a good point.
Yeah.
What is this part?
Okay. You're saying good. You're saying that you're exchanging two letters. We're exchanging the resh and the resh and the dalid.
Destroying the flow of the trap.
He could be at a different Messiah. Kivasu tsar kama, umitsuka tiskefeu kama, kimelech osid likidud or likidar. Like the king, his destiny is to be burnt. Just like Sancheriv, he was a Russian, he was destroyed by fire. Likewise, this wicked person, his destiny is to be destroyed. Interesting idea. We have to understand that a Russia, he's coming, Eve is telling us that a Russia identifies the ultimate Russia, the Russia that we can use as a model for Russia, v'toivloi, was Sancheriv. That's at least one thing we can extract from this pasuk, because if he's discussing Russia of Etovla and is coming to compare it to Sancheriv, Sancheriv represents this concept. So we have to study in much more detail Sancheriv. Sancheriv was meant. Sancheriv was by his children, right? Sancheriv, he ran away. He was one of a few survivors. Everyone, according to the
Medrash.
All of his, because he wanted to sacrifice them to a new Avodah Zarah. He survived. The only like 10 people who survived, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to live, and he ran away, and his children, right? He met his children. He found a board from the Teva,
right.
And he wanted to worship this board. He made this into a new Avodah Zarah, and he wanted his children to participate. And the children said, "Enough of this mishigas," and they killed. He killed his own father. Okay, so the one thing we can extract from this is that Sancheriv appears to be, at least in this Rashi, is the ultimate model, the paradigm of Russia v'toivla. He controlled the entire world. He was successful. Everything he did was successful. He had one last thing to accomplish, to conquer Yerushalayim. At that point in time, Klai Yisrael was the very great threat, danger of extinction. All that was left in the Klal Yisrael was just a little teeny city, Yerushalayim. That was the whole Klal Yisrael, the old city. That was all that was left. And he already succeeded in conquering the whole Eretz Yisrael. He sent into exile everyone else. And if not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing Chizkiyahu to survive, Rachman al-Tzad, who knows what had been. And he died. And that's what here Eve is comparing him to. Pasuk Chafei. Kinata el kel yadovi el shaka yiskabar. Now he's describing in great detail what the method of the Rasha, what is the conduct of the Rasha, and it's seeming that we can go a step further, he's referring to Sancheriv. Now that Rashi has linked this idea to Sancheriv, we're also describing in detail the midos of Sancheriv. He extended to Hashem, to Elkel Yodo, he wanted to fight a war against God. The El Shakai Yiskabor, he claimed that he can overcome Hashem. Pasuk Kafei the Mitzudos, Kinota, Al Asher Noto Yodo El Kel Levazos Klapi Mala Benetia Sayah. The reason why he will be destroyed was because he extended his hand to be Mevazet, to disgrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu Klapi Mala Benetia Sayah, by extending his hand. V'hoya Miskaber Atzmo Lumulo, he made himself greater than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Choshav Asher Koichoy V'oitzim Yodo Oslo Yeso Oisher, that it's only due to his success, his power and his success, that he's wealthy. Rashi, Pasik Chof, hey, there is no Rashi. Pasuk Chof, Vav, Yoritz Ilo Betzavar. He runs toward HaKadosh Baruch Hu with chutzpah, with his neck outstretched. The Avi Gabe, with Gagaiva, his neck is out, all the way out there. Ba'avi Gabe Mo Gi Nof. Avi means it's padded. It's padded with cushions. It's padded with thickness are his shields. In other words, he has nothing to worry about. He's protected. He has the ultimate defense. He's not afraid that he will come under attack. Let's take a look at this pasuk in more detail. Yeah.
Wasn't there one? I've covered the wrong table. Was it Titus who challenged the Kodesh Baruch Hu?
That was by Yesheni.
Yeah.
Titus was by Yesheni. So that's already past the scope of the Nevi'im. I mean, there are examples where we find things alluding to Hanukkah during to the time of Purim, during past the time of the Bayis Rishon, but generally we try to focus within the Tkufa of the Nevi'im. And the Tkuva of the Nevi'im includes the entire period of the Bayis Rishon, which includes very specifically Sancheriv and Chizkiyahu, and for whatever reason.
Sancheriv was worse in the world than Nebuchadnezzar.
Well, he was his predecessor. L'chaira, I mean, I don't know who's worse. I don't know on the scale of Rishoyim. But he wasn't a nice guy.
How would this compare to the Dor
HaFlaga? The Dor HaFlaga? We don't find the leader, Nimrod. Who was the central leader, wicked person in the Dor HaFlaga? That was Nimrod. Okay, I don't know the answer. I don't know. For whatever reason, Rashi is focusing specifically on Sancheriv. Nimrod, was he a melech? Did Nimrod have a status of a melech? I don't think so. Nimrod is called a gibor tzayit. The concept of malchus first came into existence at a later point in time. You have to study ancient civilizations.
But he was one of the four.
He was called a gibor.
Who was the king?
Oh, the four kings and the five kings. Right, we have that with Avraham.
He wasn't
okay. So maybe even Kivshno Eish. But was he called? We don't know how society was structured in ancient times. We do find by Avraham. Avraham fought against the four kings who before conquered the five kings. So we do find such a concept of kings. Umalke tzedek, right? Umalke means lashon of melech. What does it say? Malke tzedek melech sholem. Malke tzedek melech sholem. Melech sholem. He was the king of Sholem, the city of Sholem. So you do find there was something called the king of Israel. Okay, I don't know the answer. For whatever reason, we're focusing specifically on Sancheriv. Pasuk Chavav expresses the fact that this Rasha, he runs towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his neck stretched out with gaiva. Ba'avi gabe. Gabe means, if you look at the mitzudos tzion, gabe means guf. Okay, agaf means the essence. The guf kmo legabe choyme gabechem. We had this before. Your bodies are bodies of matter. Vayomer al guf kol davar. You could say on any type of object, you can refer to it to an object. Guf gabe means an object. The shield, the ave gabe maginov. The shield of a rasha is thick. The metal content of the rasha is thick. Let's see pasuk chavav in the mitzudos. This Rasha runs towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu with his neck stretched out and with arrogance. Ba'avur, why does he have confidence? Oyvei gufei meginav, due to the thickness of the essence of his shield, asher olav, ratzulaymar, the reason why he is able to speak with gaiva and behave with arrogance towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu is because he is self-confident in that he will be protected. This king or this Rasha runs towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the goiva with zikifas tzavar l'hachisoy, with arrogance and an outstretched neck to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Be'ovei gabei meginov, B'choizek. Okay, b'choizek, the word over here, according to Rashi, means thickness. The thickness with a thick shield. So the thickness here represents b'choska. With his entire strength. Gabe, what is the exact translation of the word Gabe according to Rashi? Loshon Gova, not like the Mitsudos. Rashi is arguing. Gabe means height. Kemo Vativni Lucha Gav. Okay, I'm not sure what it means in there in that pasuk, but it means, according to Rashi, it means the Ove Gove with tall and thick with height and with thickness are his shields, which means with arrogance and thickness. A poetic expression meaning that this Rasha, there's nothing holding him back from arguing and rebelling and angering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Chof Zayin. Ki Chisa Fanav Bechelbo. Here it describes that he's a fat. Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. The Rasha has fattened himself to the degree that he has a double chin, and that his thighs, his legs, are extremely thick and fat. He's overweight. He needs to go on a diet. But there is, okay, well, it doesn't seem that he's muscle. Okay, I don't know. But listen, Kivkisa fun of the Chelvay. He has covered his face with fat. His fat is extremely wide and round, and has a double chin. Vayas pima ale chosa. Now, what does it mean, pima? So we'll see them all. Pima here means lips. That his loins, just like the lips represent, they have a certain thickness and fatness. We're borrowing the term lip, and we're using it for his legs, for his loins, for his thighs. His thighs are like his lips. They're fat. Because he enjoys life. He likes to have a good meal. Let's say, look, Pasuk HaZayin L'Mitzudos. Ki chisa ki his anag badeshe nafsho. The wicked man has enjoyed himself, has delighted his neshama with the good of this world. Lahashmines besara, to fatten his flesh, ad to the point ki kisa upon the bechelboy, his entire face is covered with fat. Va'asa al kisalav, and he has also brought upon his loins kifulim, folds of fat. You can grab the fat from his legs. Meroiv hashumin, due to the enormous amount of fat. The hemonir, so here he explains, a very hard pasuk, these words are very difficult, and here in the Mitzvot explains, it appears kisif seapios. His legs look like his lips. Okay, I don't know exactly the exact metaphor. Just like the lips are thick, and you can see the fat on the lips. Uvalvur roiv hatoiva, due to his success in life, he's an extremely successful person. Okay, due to extremely successful life, gova libo, he has delicious meals every single day, and these delicacies have caused him to become arrogant, as the pasuk says, "Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot." Yeshurun got fat and then kicked and rebelled against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a degree of complacency, a degree of koichi v'oitzim yadi. It's exactly what it says. Uvatach b'roiv choskoi. He has confidence in his strength. Levazois klapi malut, to disgrace, to disparage towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's say, look at Rashi Pasuk of Zayin.
Goliath
or Philistus, okay, could be. Let's go over here, take a look at Rashi Pasuk of Zayin. Pima Eleksil. Osa Peh Al Chalotzin. He put a peh, a mouth, on his loins. What does that mean? Same exact thing as the Mesudos. Shechelboi, his fat. V'oivei shumnoi, the thickness of his fat. Two expressions which mean the same thing. Kofel al kislov, is doubled on his legs. V'nirin kimi peh, it looks like the lips. It looks like lips, that's how fat he is. Pima, what does the word pima mean literally? Migizras v'hoisa hap tzira pim. There it means, pim means a mouth. The word hap tzira Zuhi Hesh, I'm not Lima Shel Nefachim Sheyesh La Pios Habi Bellows. Okay, this is the Lima Shel Nefachim of a smith. The Lima means the bellows of a smith. It's like a what's it called? That the bellows. But what's that? That's a musical instrument.
Accordion, right.
So let's say the accordion has Sheyesh Lo Pios Habi, it has many folds. Bellows have many folds. V'nikres Heftzer Pios, it's called a doubling over, a multiplication of Pios, of folds, of mouths. That's what his legs look like. There are multiple folds in his legs due to the intense fat. And that is what this Rasha, that's what this Rasha is like. Pasuk Chav Ches, that's the cause of his arrogance. Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayishkoin Orim. Now, what has this, we're describing again in more detail, what has he done to show that he's successful? Vayishkoin Orim Nichados, Botim Lo Yeshu Lomo, Asher His Aditu Legalim. We had this idea in the beginning, we had this idea before, not so long ago, a couple of programs back. I don't understand the concept what it's all about, but this is what in ancient times it was common that in order to show your success, how great you are, you would acquire a ruined city, a destroyed city, and you would rebuild it. For some reason, it's much more fun to rebuild an old city than to build a new city. That was the custom. When a person comes to power, what? You get a tax break. Okay, you don't have to pay the zoning laws. You want to do construction. So if you knock down the whole house, so then you have to go through the whole process and get a permit. But if you're just doing renovations, so then you can get away with everything. I don't know the logic behind this, but for some reason in ancient times when a new king came to power and he became extremely successful, the way that he would show the world his success is he would acquire a city that was destroyed, that was chorav, and he would rebuild it. And that would add fame to his name. So that's what it says about this person, Vayishkoin. What has this Russia done? Vayishkoin, Orim, he has dwelt in Orim, cities that in the past were Nichados, that were destroyed. Nichados means ruined. Batim, repetition, poetic repetition. He has dwelt and he has rebuilt Batim homes that in the past, Lo Yeshvu Lomo, no one was dwelling within them. Asher, and these homes and these cities, Asher his attitude means they were designated. They were written off by the government as just wasteland. Asher his attitude, they were designated ligalim, to be mounds, heaps of rubble, of stone, to be nothing. And now this person comes along and look what I have done. I've taken this ruined city, I've rebuilt it, I've made it into a beautiful city, and it all enhances my great glory. And because of his success, that's why he has extreme arrogance, and he has the chutzpah to run towards the Kodesh Baruch Hu with an outstretched neck to anger Kodesh Baruch Hu in his evil ways. Mitzudos Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayishkoin Shochein Be'orim Nigzoros. He dwells in cities that were Nigzoros V'Nechrovos, that in the past were cut off and destroyed. What does this mean? Kibona Osam La'atzmo. He has rebuilt them. Kiderech HaGedolim. This was the custom in ancient times of great people. Asher Yivnu Arim Necharavos. They would rebuild ruined cities. Liyos Lachem L'Shem. And by doing so, they would enhance their reputation. Uchmash Ama. We had this before in the beginning of Sefer Yev Perikul Gem Gimel. Haboinim, these wicked people, Chorvoy Slomo, who rebuild ruined cities, Lomo, for themselves to enhance their glory. Batim, B'shochin B'batim, Asher Lo Hoyurim L'Shem Esbohem. This wicked person, he has rebuilt homes that were previously unfit for habitation. Asher Huchnu, and in the past they were set aside, they were designated. V'huz Manu, and put aside, liyois galim, to be a pile of stones, udigurin kiderech, udigurin also means, udigur means, it means some type of wasteland, kiderech churvos, like the way it is of old ruined cities. Kirashi pasik chav ches vayishkon adim nechados kein derech baligayva. This is the derech baligayva. Boinim churvos l'shem. They build ruined cities for their own reputation. So far we're doing pretty good. Rashi and the Mitzudos on the last couple of psukim are in agreement. Since pasik chav dalid, all the last psukim chav hei, chav vav, chav zayin, chav ches. So far, Rashi and the Mitzvah see eye to eye. Okay, Pasuk Chav Tes.
Malvin is very, very
good. Yeah, what does he say?
Malvin says, he's afraid to live among people, so he
he lives in a desolate area, in a place where
because he's a, because he's gonna, he's gonna, he's gonna, they're going to come after him. Let's see. Yeah, let's see the Malbim.
They're going to steal everything that he owns.
He lives in isolation. He can't enjoy his wealth. Since he's so afraid people will come and they'll come and they'll take away all of his possessions, so he has to go into hiding. So he has doesn't and is not even able to enjoy life. It fits very well to the previous theme that in Russia, the Tovlo, it's not really so. The Russia cannot even enjoy his wealth because when people see that he's a wealthy person, they come, they want to steal, they want to take it away for themselves. Very good. Lo yeshar v'lo yakum chelo, so it's v'lo yitel aretz min lam. Now min lam means the Mitzudah Sion says the end. Min lam is a very difficult word. Hash lamosam, their completion. It will not remain. This passage is a prediction that the wicked person he will not live out his days with his wealth. His wealth will ultimately be taken away from him. Pasuk Chavtes Nemetzudos David Lo Yeshar Uvavur Zodon Libo. Here, Eliphaz tells Iyov, my prediction is, due to his terrible sins, Lo Yamud Osho, his wealth will not last. Lo Yiskayim Chelo Fukofal Inyan Bimilum Shonas Lo Yita Lo Yenotui Mehem Linpol Ba'aretz Tachlisam V'Hashlomas Gemulam. He will not allow, Hashem will not allow that Minlam is their success, their completion will not be cast down to the earth. It will not remain firm on the earth. Kiim Al Rosham Yochol V'Kablu HaGmul Misholem. Towards the beginning of its existence, Yochol V'Kablu HaGmul Misholem, they will receive their punishment. Okay, so Lo Yeshar, the wealth will not be sustained. Lo Yakum Chelo, Milam Shanes, the wealth will not be sustained. Lo Yitel Aretz Minlam, it will not remain to the end. It will not, Yitel means to turn. It will not be turned towards the earth and remain firm on the earth towards the end of days, but instead it will be uprooted prematurely. Let's look at Pasuk Chavtes Nemetzudos in Rashi. Rashi, Lo Yakum Chelo, Lo Yiskayim Liyamim Rabim, it will not last for many days. Lo Yitel, Lo Yinote Militzasai, his counsel will not last. Kemo vayitu achrei habetza, they turned after. The word vayitu means to.
I think it means there's a comma. It's a lo yinote.
You know, comma. Lo yinote. Militzasai. This means kemo vayitu achrei habetza, they turned to turn after profit, after gain. Sheperish vayinotu heim atzmam. Afkan, they themselves turned, they themselves, these refers to the children of Shmuel, they were Chofi and Pinchas, that they,
that's Eli,
they went and they sought out bribery. They sought out to become corrupt. Vayinotu heim atzmam, afkan, lo yinote, what does it mean? Lo yinote min hashamayim lo aretz minlam, it will not be turned, it will not be directed from heaven to earth. Minlam matas tavosam v'zimun machashavtam. So this, according to the Rashi, it's a different interpretation. Minlam is a very difficult word. It means the gift of their desire and the preparation and their thoughts, the plans of their thoughts. V'hu kishtei tevos min lohem. What is to them their desires? So min lohem, what is to them? What's theirs? It will not be granted to them what they desire.
I think the Rashi says the same thing. It says tachlisa v'hashlamas gemulam, which means what they want.
Okay.
What their purpose is at the end.
Okay. What they're desiring to achieve.
Right.
Their desired goal will not be granted to them. Min lohem. What is to them? Meaning what they want. Next Rashi explains more, elaborates a little bit more. Min hachonosam. What is set aside, prepared. Kamo vayiman lohem hamelech. The king prepared for Doniel and for Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, he made special preparations, special food, seeds. He gave them what they wanted. The doimelo, Hapitzira Pim. We have another example of Pim B'shtei Tevois. V'chein Hiftzira Pim. V'chein Ar Elam. Targum Yonason Iskali Lohoin Zen Dir B'yenai Menachem Misayim Menachem is Dover Acher. Okay, this okay, I'm not exactly sure. I think he's bringing rayos from Shmuel and Yeshua. I'm not sure where these rayos are from. Dover Acher, another interpretation, Minlam. Lashon Kin Luscha Livgait. The Hanun Shabo Yisoid Neufel Lashon Tachlis. It means their ultimate goal. Tachlis. Kin Loscha. Lashon Kin Loscha, which he explains to mean their goal. Lo Yinotel Aretz Lios Betela. Gezeras Chorutz. That their will be betela their desire their I'm not really sure what this means.
Chorutz means ambition.
Chorutz means what? To be cut off. Gezeras Chorutz. Lo yasu latziv lo yinatil aretz minlam will not be. Okay, so we'll leave it for now. We just see the first interpretation with the Mitzudos. The Lite will not be directed towards them from the heaven towards the earth. Minlam, what they desire. The wicked people will not, their wealth will not remain in their possession, and their desired results will not be achieved. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Lamed. Lo yaser mine choshech yoynakto. Lo yaser mine choshech yoynakto tiabesh shalheves. The yasur beruach piv. Let's take a look at the mitzvot pasuk lamed. Lo yas lo yiye od nezar lo shuv likadmaso. He will not return. Mine choshech. Once darkness comes upon the wicked person and he falls and he stumbles and he's destroyed, there will be no return. Yoynakto. Yonakto means enough of harachim, tiavish. His young shoots will dry up. Oh, who will dry them up? Osam hashal heves. Ad sheyasidu mimukaymo v'yinuch beruafiv al hamenashev k'derech davar hayavish. Asher lerov kaluso yis nadneid beruach kima. It will blow in a small wind. Now, what does that mean? Ratzul laimar. B'davar kal yoyvet hatzlochoso, with a small blow, their success will be destroyed. So tiyabe shlosri yonakto means the young branch will be dried up by a fire. The shalheves is the fire. The fire will consume it. The yosur, they will be driven away with just the blow of the pif. These wicked people will be easily destroyed, defeated at the end. Kirashi pasik lamid v'yasur min olam, they will be removed from the world. Beruach piv shel shalit ba'olam, the one that rules the world, is emikur chasev yeshpeshim b'shvil ruach piv shahara ledaber sar. According to Rashi's second interpretation, it's not referring to HaKadosh Baruch or referring to a tzaddik who will blow away the Rasha. It's a cause, a reason. The reason why the Rasha will be dry up, the reason why he will not be restored from darkness, and his young branches will dry up in fire, is because the Yasur, because he spoke Lashon Hara. The Yasur, he will be removed from this world, Baruch Piv, because of his own evil words. His own evil words have done him in. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Lo Yamin Bashav, Lo Bashav Nisa, Kishav Tiyet Tumiraso. The Mitzudos, Lo Yamin, the person that made a mistake to go in a derech shav did not believe that his end would be shav. He never will have expected what have happened to him. According to the Mitzudos, the unexpected has come upon the Rasha, that he never would have believed that this derech that he chose for himself would result in him himself falling that way. Let's see the pasuk again. Al Yamin.
Yeah, we find it in the
Yeah. No. Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. That is, I think, at the very end of this Mitzudos, where he summarizes, he doesn't say it explicitly. He doesn't say it explicitly, but he comes pretty close.
But this passage seems to be right in place of what he said before. Before he said, you know, there is no such thing as
a Rosh of a Tovlai.
And here he's saying, the Rosh never expected him to be, be wiped out.
And right, he never... I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer. Al Yamein Bashav, he never expected that Bashav Nissa, that in nothingness, the Bashav Nissa refers to the person, according to them, is the person that made a mistake in nothingness. Kishav Tiyat Tumuraso, that this Shav would come upon this. Nothingness would return upon he himself. Let's look at the Mitzulas one more time. Al Yamin. Hatoye lo leches b'derech shav, the person that made a mistake to go in the derech of shav, lo hayamamin, he never would have believed that shav tumuraso tiyah shav, that his reward, that his end would also be shav. Rotzalaymar, shagmulo yeh kimufolo, that his punishment would be according to his deeds. He would be punished mida k'neged mida. He never expected this would come upon him. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk la'alamav al yamin, oysa asher b'shav niteh, this person that was misled to follow in the ways of Shav, Kishav Yet Tumuraso. He got what he gave. It came back, it boomeranged upon him. Kishav Yet Tumuraso, V'yigiyoy Kimo, it came upon him. V'al HaTmura, the word Tmura means an exchange. It means an exchange that what he has given has come back upon him. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Beis, Below Yomo Timole, V'chiposo Lo Ra'anono. That he will expire before his day is over. It's an expression. Before his time has come to Chiposo, what is chiposo? According to the Mitzvot, it means his branch. Anafav lo yirutuvim rotzoloimar lo yavoy toivo lezarach. This is a very scary expression. It's referring to his children. According to the Mitzvot, the word chiposo means that his children will not be successful. They will not be fresh. Let's see, look at Rashi. Rashi, pasuk lamed beis, below yamo, tamo tmurasai al milayasa, that it will not be full. Miligdol the word vayimalu means to hashlama. Timoli means to be filled, which means it should be complete, that his life will be incomplete. The young branches. Al anfe ilan domen lekipa. The bending of the branches upon the tree is domen to a kipa. The reason why we're calling a young branch a kipa is a kipa means an arch. A young branch looks like has the shape of an arch. Okay, pasuk lamed gimel yachmois kagefen bisro. It will be stolen like a vine. Bisro v'yashlech kazayis nitzaso. Lama gimel the mitzudos. Yachmos mi shabiyod lohasir hu yosir zaroi b'siba kala. Anyone that has the power to take away from the rasha will humble him, just like bosa. What is bosa? Bosa means grapes that dry up prematurely. And they're very delicate. B'siba ka'alok, gefen hazer ha'meser bishroi b'ma'at siva, like a vine, the smallest excuse will cause the vine to abandon its grapes. Grapes are from all the different forms of trees, things that in the orchard are the most delicate, and the smallest reason will cause the vine to produce or to cause the small grapes to become unripened. It will cast away its seed quickly, kizayis, just like an olive, hamashlech maher nitzaso, which throws quickly nitzaso. That's the word that's used in reference to an olive. The flower of the olive is called the nitzaso. The mitzudos tzio nitzaso pirchoi, its flower. Kmo hinetsu harimoinim, the flower. So here is yachmois. Yachmois means it will be removed. It will be removed. Kagefen Bisro. The Rasha's success will be cut short, just like a vine cut short the life of its unripened grapes for because of any excuse. And just like the Yashlech Kazayis Nitzah, so likewise an olive is also a very delicate tree, and if there is some small problem in the environment, it will cause its flowers to be cut off and be cast away and not continue to produce. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, I'll say Rashi. Rashi says, we did it with Rashi. You want to try to finish the perek? Ki adas chonef galmud the eish ochlo ohole shaychat. Okay, he's coming out to summarize Eiv. He's telling you that adas, because Eiv is an assembly, or the wicked person, are part of an assembly of chonef. Chonef means a flatterer. Galmud, the end, at the end of the days, when everything is said and done, a chonef is all alone. No one is going to give comfort or going to support the chonef. Galmud means person who sits in solitary confinement. The eish ochla, and a fire will consume ohole shochad, the tents of people that practice shochad, bribery, corruption. Pasuk lamdal mitzudos. We're almost finished the perek. Ki adas ki kein roy, so is fit shetia adas chonef, the assembly of the chonef yechidi. It's fitting that the rasha, the chonef, should be put in a solitary confinement. V'lo yimotze bo loibon v'loibonos, he should not even have children. V'eish charoin af Hashem, and it's fitting that the chonef, the flatterer, this wicked person, should be burned by a fire. V'eish shachla haboyrak eish toichal ohalim haboynim b'mamon shachad, tents that are built with money that came through corruption. Rashi. There is no Rashi. Last pasuk of the parak. Pasuk parak includes Haro Omol, the Olod Oven. This wicked person conceives, becomes pregnant. It's an expression with iniquity, and he gives birth to sin. Uvitnam Tachin Mirma, and with his wound, there is, it's filled with deceit. Pasuk Lamed Hei Mitzudos Haro Omol Kemosha Haro Omol Kain Yelod Oven. Just like this wicked person, he conceives iniquity. His plans Kain Yelod Oven. He gives birth to sin. Rotzloima Kemosha. The punishment is according to the deed. So over here, what he's trying to say is that the leida is the punishment for the conception. The act, the investment, is what we call the horo, is
conception. The natural
follow. The follow, it follows. But in this context, it's the maisa. He has committed a maisa, which we're calling here horo, and that maisa was amol, so he'll get what he deserves. The leida will also be with oven, he'll get back what he deserves. Ubitnam, and their womb will be filled with mirma, commercial horo amol, just like this wicked person. He brought about a conception that was to amol. Cain likewise, yolod oven. The birth will be sin. Rotzolaymar kmosha haleda hi lefi ha'royon. Just like we know that the leda, the birth, is a result, is a natural consequence of conception. Cain hagmul, the punishment that the rasha receives, will be fitting lefi hamas, according to his evil deeds. Uvitnam halay nosum bebeten, halev nosum bebeten, the heart that is in the inner, the womb, we're calling over here the inside of a person. Halahi hichina hamirma. This is what prepared the deceit. Ulzen, therefore, it deserves to get ulzen yikabul gemuloi mishalim bein machzar, and therefore, it deserves to be punished without a complete punishment. Okay, so this, let's see, just do the Rashi before we do the summary of the mitzudos. The Rashi concludes. Rashi looks horror amal v'yolad aven asa ra. This evil man has committed evil. The yishtalmu socher haleid lufi harayon, and the lady of the birth is going to be equivalent to the conception. Tachin is tazin to bepir mirma's deceit lemirma tahapich lohem tavosam. Their desires, what they plan to do, will be turned upon them. Lemirma, for deceit tahapich lohem tavosam, will be transformed their desires. I'm not really sure what that means. Okay, let's look at the summary very quickly. The summary of the Mitzudos David. What is the summary of Eliphaz? Eliphaz here is speaking to Eiv. Ki Yoshev Amarv Loimar Le'Eiv. Eliphaz is replying to Eiv. Eich Toimar Loi Chotasi. How dare you say I did not sin? Haloi bidvarecha eile tachti ode sachem. This goes back to the beginning of the parak. He's summarizing the entire parak. What are the major themes that we learn in this parak? First of all, by claiming that you did not sin, you are serving as a bit influence upon others. Ki tashrish belibam es michshol avoynecha. You are causing them to take root in the minds and the hearts of other people the stumbling block of your sin. Lachshav she'ein mashkiach, to say that, look, Eev did not sin, and Eev is suffering, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mashkiach upon this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved in this world. And that's a very great sin. You're having bad influence upon other people. Your evil is very great. The Al Asher Yisroim. Next thing, the Al Asher Yisroim Al Yisurim Bavur Ma'isat Toiv Sha'asa. This that you are complaining. The second thing that you complain is that forget about the fact that I did not sin, but I'm a tzaddik. I've done good deeds, and at least the good deeds I've done should protect me from the suffering. Yoshev Loimar. To that, Eliphaz responds, Halomei Oz Kibal Talem Gemul. You already got your reward. You had 70 great years of life, more than anyone else had. So don't go and argue that I've done good deeds, I'm a tzaddik, I deserve to be rewarded. You were rewarded. And you still have to pay a debt. You have a debt to pay for your sins. You should pay off the debt with these yisurim. Period. Next thing. He then debates Eif concerning the fall of the wicked. The af bimei toivasoi chomlo navshoi michalchola. He debates him concerning the Rasha, who will ultimately, the Rasha, this that you claim, that Rasha v'toivloi, it's not so. Ultimately, the Rasha will fall and stumble, and he will never return. We mentioned there were a few psukim in this parak where Eliphaz explicitly said that once the Rasha falls, he goes into a state of darkness, he will never return, and even during the days when the Rasha is successful, they're not really successful because he's filled with daigos. The afi made toivos chomlo nafshoi michalcholo the yishboit b'chol eis, and he's concerned at every single moment. Asherharo tovay olav asherloi kain benoki v'tzadik avloi kain benoki v'tzadik. But that all of this is not true when it comes to a person who's truly a noki, an innocent and a righteous person. An innocent and righteous person, when they fall, they will return, they will be restored. And a person who is a tzadik has no daigus in this world, even though he may suffer, because he has a munah pshut and a kodesh baruch who is able to deal with his difficulties, and he's not worried. So this is the essence of the reply of Eliphaz. Okay, we'll stop over here.